Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 168. We're recording this on July 19th, 2021. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, of which we are a part, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, Sheba. Hello, Sheba.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good, good. Can't complain. It's the summer holidays, so can't complain at all. I don't do much lately. And I'm not complaining.
It's been a wet summer here. And of course, you know, I know a lot of our listeners, it's been a very dry summer for them. I wish, you know, we could share some of our rain because we've actually had some flooding. So, you know, hey, if we could balance that stuff out, that would be great.
Yeah.
Everyone gets to share.
A town, I'm pretty much northwest-ish of Toronto, had a tornado, and, you know, Canada normally doesn't, Ontario specifically, doesn't have too many tornadoes. So that had taken everybody by surprise. And that day was, I think we had recorded that day as well. And it was a pretty crazy rainy day. Intense rain that day. So, yeah, it's been raining over here in Ontario as well.
Yep. So, yeah, hopefully everyone, wherever they are doing okay. Just like speaking of flooding, there's like major flooding out in Germany and Belgium and parts of France and the Netherlands, which is like really, really wild, like terrible flooding out there. So, yeah, we hope everyone is doing well wherever they are. So, and darn it, if you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it.
Yes, please.
We have a ton of news to cover tonight. So without further ado, we are going to get to that. Ladies and gentlemen, on to our news. First up, Sheba, you actually brought my attention to this one. Yep. The Captain America social media accounts have gone from featuring the Steve Rogers Captain America to featuring the Sam Wilson Captain America.
Yep, which is very exciting. And I sent it to a friend, and he was saying he thinks that they had made the switch shortly after the finale of the show. A friend of mine had sent this to me and was like, hey, look, this is awesome. And I'm so excited. I mean, obviously, we know we're getting a fourth Captain America, which will be about Sam Wilson and his cap, which is absolutely fantastic. And I'm really excited to see more of Captain America. We've already talked about this, more of Captain America with Sam Wilson, especially now that, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier has ended and he has the shield and he's accepted that he is Captain America now. So I can only imagine what his movie is going to be like. But yeah, it was a very exciting thing. And I think people on, I think it was Reddit, had put it on Reddit and on Marvel Reddit, and people were sharing it there. And I think everybody's really excited about it, just having it being updated. I mean, we all do miss, you know, Chris Evans and his Africa, but hey, it's time to pass the mantle and or pass the shield on in this case. And I'm happy to see that Sam Wilson is being, you know, being promoted.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a big announcement last week. Of course, it was like the day after we recorded for Emmy nominations. And amazingly, Marvel, and really specifically Disney plus Marvel, had gotten a total of 28 Emmy nominations, which is just absolutely huge, obviously. WandaVision landed 23 of those. And so real quick, running through the list here, we have Outstanding Limited Series, Lead Actress in a Limited Series, that's Lizzie Olsen, Lead Actor in a Limited Series, that's Paul Bettany, Supporting Actress in a Limited Series for Katherine Hahn, Director for Matt Shakman, Writing for a Limited Series. They spotlighted three episodes in particular, the Halloween one, the first episode, and then which one was previously on?
I can't remember. Hold on.
Quick Google search. I don't know which one that was. So while you're doing that, I'll keep going through here. Production design, casting, Outstanding fantasy sci-fi costumes, outstanding single camera picture editing. And that was for two specific ones, on a very special episode and the series finale, obviously with a lot of the effects and the stuff that was going on. And you had, Agatha and Wanda, you had two visions. There was a lot of editing that had to be done with a lot of that stuff. So that's definitely, worthwhile. Outstanding period and or character hairstyling. Certainly a lot of the costuming, hairstyling, that kind of stuff was very period for that. What'd you come up with?
Previously on was episode 8.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Main title design, period and or character makeup, music composition. For the original score, music and lyrics for Agatha All Along. The original... main title theme music, music supervision, sound editing, sound mixing, and special visual effects. So they really covered like basically every major category, which is just really impressive. And the Falcon and Winter Soldier got 5. They got outstanding sound editing, visual effects, stunt coordination and stunt performance. So we don't have, there's really no overlap because even the sound editing category is in a slightly different, series category than WandaVision is. So there's no actual competition there. The big shocker in the Falcon Winter Soldier nominations though, was for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series. The nominee is none other than Don Cheadle. Yes, we did mention this briefly on MCU TV last week. I think that it was, I mean, it was not long. It was like less than 2 minutes of screen appearance. It was crazy.
Yeah, and it was just... It was on the first episode for a short period of time, and then that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah. I mean, Don Cheadle is fantastic. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? But I thought that there were also a lot of other people. I guess maybe because he was the most famous guest appearance on this show. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Don Cheadle did take to social media and basically said he doesn't get it either, but he's still appreciative.
No one. Yeah, exactly. We like Don Cheadle. So, you know, congratulations, Don Cheadle, regardless.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan. I haven't looked to see, you know, who else is nominated, for the same category. Chances are somebody else is going to win it because all due respect to Don Cheadle and he's even admitted himself that like, again, he doesn't really get it. So, you know, chances are someone else is going to win, but that's okay. But yeah, you know, obviously good luck to both of those shows and everyone involved in them, for the nominations that they got. Do you know offhand when the actual awards are?
I am not sure, but let me double check. Emmys 2021.
We do live research here on the show, folks.
Yep, exactly.
It's only semi-scripted.
July. Okay, no, wait, that was you. September 19th, 2021.
September 19th, okay.
It says September, September 19th.
Gotcha. All right.
Because I think the nominations were,
Yeah.
Nominations were July 13th and the Emmy Awards are September 19th, 2021 at 8 p.m.
That works. Let's see. Speaking of Don Cheadle, he has said that Armor Wars is going to explore who War Machine is and what makes him tick. So, I think everyone knows I'm really looking forward to it. I love, again, we've been talking about Don Cheadle, love the actor. I love the character of Rhodey / War Machine. And I think, you know, the whole concept of Armor Wars, and I'm interested to see what they kind of do as an adaptation from the comic story, which we've talked about on here before. So yeah, we have just so much good Disney Plus stuff coming up. And it's amazing that, like, well, WandaVision was really good, and Falcon Winter Soldier was really good. Loki is the thing that busted open Phase 4.
Yeah, which is, which I find is interesting, because I've seen a lot of people on social media saying they didn't like Loki, and I'm like, how?
Yeah,
I don't. I like. I've literally seen people commenting on other, like, other people, like, especially on TikTok, making videos, and people commenting in those videos going, it was the worst one, or it was boring. And I'm like, but how? I mean, I haven't responded to anybody, because I'm like, I don't want to open that can of worms, because, you know, people on social media can get very angry for no reason. So, I mean, but I've seen, you know, people, and I'm like,
the thing is, yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, it's certainly to each their own.
Of course, definitely.
And if you know, people favored another series over Loki, that's completely fine. I will say Loki was a lot more cerebral than the other ones were. So, I mean, the tone was very different. The format of storytelling was very different.
Yeah, I know one person who had, when I was looking through it, the person was saying that it was because it was more on exposition, more talking and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. For them, it wasn't something that they were a fan of, or I think they were autistic, so that too much exposition was too much for them.
Sure.
So that's why they didn't enjoy it, which I'm like, that I totally understand. Makes total sense why you can't like it. It's not a bad show, but people might, like you said, people may have an affinity for some of the other ones as opposed to this one, but it doesn't mean that it was a bad show. It just might not be your cup of tea.
Well,
which is totally understandable.
Yeah. And the finale, I think, really underscored that, because there wasn't a whole lot of action in the finale. I mean, you had like a minute and a half worth of fighting. Mm. Most of it was talking. It was a lot of exposition. Yeah. It was a lot of storytelling, which I was riveted by. I mean, I was truly on the edge of my seat, paying attention to every word said and every detail. Mm-hmm. I mean, hanging off of every word, because like you could see fundamentally where this was going. And I was really, really excited about it. And I still am. But you know, I mean, to teach their own, we'll talk a little bit more about Loki here in a moment. We do have some words though here from Kevin Feige on some related things. I guess a couple of soft spoilers for Black Widow.
Yeah,
if you've not seen it here,
just to be safe. Yeah.
So he says that the return of Rachel Weisz and David Harbour as Melina and Red Guardian, respectively, is a pretty safe bet. So I think it's exciting that we're going to see them again in some story.
Agreed.
He also says that Val is in recruitment mode, which we obviously saw from the end credits scene in Black Widow. And he basically said, you know, expect to see more of this. So we're probably going to have a lot of end credit scenes.
With Val popping in.
Yeah. Yeah. Where she's just going to be popping in and like grabbing this character and that character and kind of, you know, pulling them all in to
Forming
her.
Her own team. Or whatever she's doing.
Yeah. And we don't know if this is the Dark Avengers. We don't know if this is the Thunderbolts. We don't know if this is, we don't know what this is. So, you know, it's interesting, I think, to see where some of this stuff is going. And clearly she's pretty manipulative.
Oh yeah.
So it's also, I think, going to be interesting to see kind of where some of these things lead to. I mean, when the Hawkeye series comes out, you know, we certainly expect that we're going to see Florence Pugh in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be directly related to that post-credit scene. So
that's what I thought as well.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get to learn how like you said, she's manipulative. Val is manipulative. So hopefully we'll get to find out how Val got her to kind of, to get Yelena to join her side, to join her quote unquote side, or to work with her. Mm-hmm. Because from what we saw in the movie, we thought she was going to take all the widows and, you know, maybe help train them or help do something with them or help free them, that kind of thing. And then going back and working with Val, or working with somebody who I thought was more on the evil side, not really, you know, evil here is relative, but
yeah,
more on and plays a more evil role. How did she get Yelena to kind of join her side and go against Hawkeye completely?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just so much more to be revealed as we kind of roll into the future. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we can expect to see something come up in almost every series in the near future, every movie in the near future. And again, whether it's actually something that is embedded in that product, or it's an end credits scene or something like that, we're all of this is going to build. I mean, we know from the first three phases that they absolutely connect everything in these films. It may seem like some standalone movie or, you know, something like that, but it all ends up coming together. There's just such an incredible plan here, and it's so intricate, and I'm excited for every new thing that we get.
Me too.
So leaning into some Loki stuff, because there is news that's associated with the series, things that we got with the finale that's mm-hmm. out. Again, I'm going to kind of spoiler tag this one here, hoping that everyone who is listening has in fact seen the Loki finale. If not, skip the rest of the show.
watch and then come back.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's aside from a couple of small items at the end, it's pretty much everything here is Loki related. Yeah. So with that, and of course, it's been all over the internet. They have announced a season two for Loki. So that on again, off again rumor that we had reported here eons ago did turn out to be true. Tom Hiddleston. Go ahead.
I just said we knew that that's probably the reason he was saying that there, like everybody was saying that there wasn't going to be a season two, was because they wanted to end the show. Because, I mean, if everybody knew there was a season two, there's no stakes. You know, we know that Loki, well, one of them at least would have survived. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they were like, no, it's not, there's no season two. What are you talking about? We kind of knew that. But
yeah,
I'm, again, excited about it regardless.
Yeah. Tom Hiddleston, and of course, I don't know how much he knows about this or not, or if this is really just him being a good pitch person saying that there's going to be even more surprises in the second season than the first. I don't even know how much writing has been done on the second season, much less where it's going to be placed in, forgive my use of the word, the timeline of the MCU. I think he's kind of just building up hype. I don't know that he necessarily has any concept of specifically what it's going to be about.
I have no idea. I mean, if there were rumors flying around that there was a season two at the beginning, maybe they already kind of started throwing around some ideas. Mm-hmm. Because we know Kevin Feige likes to plan ahead anyways. So maybe there was some talk of generally of what would happen, but maybe nothing set in stone. Maybe there's no actual script or anything, but maybe there are ideas of where he wants the show to go or what would kind of, what maybe would transpire.
Yeah.
So maybe he knows that basics, mm-hmm. but I don't know if there's anything written just yet, but he probably has some kind of like general direction. Maybe.
Yeah. Michael Waldron, the writer for Loki, said that there were different versions of the ending. And this version was actually something that was developed over their COVID hiatus. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't even the original ending that they had written. So kind of going back to some of this stuff that DiMartino, gosh, I can't remember her first name.
It's with an S.
Yeah. The actress Sophia. Who plays. Sophia.
Sophia.
There you go. She, and we had mentioned this last week or the week before, that she said that, hey, you know, when they went on their COVID hiatus, that there was some reworking that was done. So Michael Waldron, who is the lead writer, basically confirmed this. And he said it was finally kind of locked in. They felt that in closing this the way that they did, that they closed one chapter of the story. And it's now something that gives a thrilling, propulsive energy into whatever happens next. And obviously we don't know necessarily what's going to happen next, but we know that this is going to have impact on a lot of other upcoming properties. Kate Herron, the director, who, by the way, is not going to be directing season two. Disappointingly, I enjoyed her directing. I thought it was really good.
I agree totally. I mean, I understand she wants to do other things as well. She said she wanted to focus on her own projects, but it really was, you know, she did a really good job with the show, I find. So it is a little sad that she won't be back.
Yeah. She said that they wanted to end Loki's story well, but there's also this cliffhanger, obviously. It was an ending we all knew that we wanted, and that the multiverse would be born and open again. Kind of going back a little bit to what you were mentioning, Sheba, about people not being thrilled either about the series or about the finale. I think so many people were looking for more closure.
Right. Yeah.
And because I think in a lot of people's minds, this was a one and done season. And so they wanted a finale, even though everything is connected elsewhere in the MCU. I think they wanted a lot more closure from that. And we didn't get it. In fact, we ended up with more questions than answers. Which, again, I personally was excited about whether there's going to be a season two or not. Because even if there wasn't, we know that those storylines are going to be picked up elsewhere.
And I had to make sure, like, I know, because I was talking to a few people myself who were like, oh, yeah, it was weird. Like, I didn't like the ending. And I'm like, did you watch the end credit scene? Did you see that there's a season two? Because that can all be, might be explained in season two or somewhere else along the line. And some of them were like, oh, there's a season two. And I was like, yeah, there's a season two. So you're right. It could be that people just wanted it all, because there, I think especially a lot of the two shows that we've gotten so far, everything is sort of been wrapped up in a nice, neat bow, at least for the most part, for that story. There's nothing like, wait, we don't know all the answers yet. Whereas with Loki, we're like, wait, what happened? Who is that? Why did things change? I think most people were just sad that poor Mobius didn't get a jet ski. I think that's where a lot of people were like, we were expecting Mobius to be riding off into the sunset in a jet ski, and we didn't get that, and now we're mad. Which, again, I don't blame them for that, because I also wanted Mobius to be on a jet ski somewhere, you know, riding off into the sunset. But maybe season two. Maybe we'll get Mobius on a jet ski riding off into the sunset. Maybe he'll be with Loki and Sylvie too.
Yeah.
And maybe with Alligator Loki, because he's pretty cool. Why not?
Tom Hiddleston, he had a couple of quotes here. First of all, he said that Sylvie's betrayal really crushed Loki's soul. For perhaps the first time, one of the only times in his life, he was being brave and he lost. And especially if we look at it in the timeline of that Loki, that's very true, because that's a Loki who did not confront Thanos. That's a Loki that was not there for Ragnarok. So, this is a Loki who really, for the first time, was trying to do the right thing. And got totally slapped down for it.
And you see that in the episode so much, like his poor heart breaks, and you're like, oh, poor thing.
And then he says something has changed in the reality of the TVA. The three statues of the timekeepers are no more, and their place is a statue of Kang. And that his friend Mobius doesn't recognize him. And that's obviously how things ended up at the end of the show there. I appreciate the fact that Tom Hiddleston actually used the name Kang, because that name was not used at all in the show, even though we all knew and we talked about this in MCU TV. Kate Herron did make a statement on this, that the Kang that we saw is a Kang variant. It is not, quote, Kang Prime.
Okay.
And in fact, in the comics, there is a He Who Remains version of Kang. And so this is that Kang, but also an amalgamation of several others, including Kang Prime and that kind of thing.
Which makes sense. It's something that the MCU does. They take things, adjust it, and change it around a little bit, which is fine because that's, you know, happens in comics as well.
And she also went on to say, and I thought it was kind of interesting for her to be saying this, considering that she's done with the project. She went on to say that Jonathan Majors, who played Kang, He Who Remains, is going to be playing a lot of different versions of Kang in the future.
Interesting.
But she says that otherwise she doesn't know the plans of Marvel Studios. So she doesn't know anything specific, but she does know that that's overall a plan. And I love it because I think Jonathan Majors
was fantastic.
I think he can really change things up. For as much as I really liked his character in Lovecraft Country, in the one episode that we saw of him in this, he showed an incredible amount of range and depth that he can do. And it really matches so much of the personality of Kang in the comics.
Yeah,
because he does get this very manic side to him. And I think part of it simply his personality. Part of it is kind of where his mind gets a little bit warped because of the time travel that he does. And because he does become this person out of time. And sometimes he isn't quite balanced in terms of where he's been and where he is and that kind of stuff. So yeah, you know, really interesting. And you had also sent me a thing that he had voiced the timekeepers, right?
Yes, yeah. Which I feel like that makes sense because if he was like he said, he was he had created kind of the timekeepers to kind of keep everyone in check, and to you know, keep the sacred timeline, even though he didn't want to use his own face, because you had explained that as well. I find it was interesting that he still used his voice to voice the timekeepers. And apparently it was something that they just kind of brought him in for, and they didn't really play. It wasn't really planned. It was just kind of like, hey, you're going to voice the timekeepers. And they just brought it in, and he voiced them. And I think that's really pretty fantastic. Again, just going back to what you were saying about Jonathan Majors and his acting, for just a scene where there was no action, just exposition for the most part, it could have easily been boring if the right person hadn't done it. But he had, I think everyone that I know who enjoyed the season finale said the same thing. Like, we were so mesmerized by what he was saying. It didn't even seem like it was just exposition, because the way he was that character, and the way he presented all of the information, it was kind of unique in the way he did it. And even just, you know, sitting the way he was sitting down on the table, the way he was just kind of moving around, he wasn't just standing in one spot or just sitting behind the desk and just talking. There was other actions that were going on, and
a lot of physical, it takes a lot of technique. Acting.
Yeah. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to just kind of put out a little bit of commentary, I think, for people to adjust their expectations. There's a lot of stuff out there saying, oh my gosh, Kang is going to be the next Thanos. Mm-hmm. Now, we've mentioned here before, Kevin Feige has mentioned, they're not going to do this big, three-phase mega story arc that's going to, you know, build and involve every single character and all that kind of stuff. And in the end, you know, all fighting this one big bad. Mm-hmm. That's not what they're going to do with it. We're obviously going to see a lot of disruption because of the multiverse. And I think, in essence, the multiverse itself is an antagonist. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot that can go on with it that, you know, say in Doctor Strange 2. So we've heard, okay, Loki is going to be appearing in Doctor Strange 2. Yep. Does Kang need to appear in it? No. Might he? Maybe. Yep. But this disruption of the multiverse itself, that is that can be enough to be our conflict. And they can throw all sorts of different things and situations at the characters where Kang doesn't necessarily need to be part of it. It's just simply the chaos of what's going on.
And to be honest, we should be expecting, we shouldn't expect the same thing. We had, all the phases, we had the Infinity Saga and it went on how it did. Mm-hmm. And that's great. And we love it and we enjoy it. But I also love that Marvel's doing something different. They're trying to make things a little different and not having the same formula. Because I've heard people say, hey, you know what? Marvel movies are all the same. They have this, it's kind of a similar storyline. And it works. But some people are like, well, they should do something different. And now Marvel is doing something different. And then there's still people that are like, well, it's not, they shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. So, there's always going to be somebody who's not going to enjoy what they're putting out. I think for the most part, most people will enjoy it. And hey, if you don't enjoy it, that's okay. That's cool. You don't have to like everything. We're all, we all understand that. But I, for one, appreciate that Marvel is trying to do something a little different from what they had already put out.
Yeah.
It means that there's no expectations of what, we're not going to have the same thing. So we don't have to expect the same thing. And, it'll be just as interesting and exciting, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And speaking of the multiverse, this is kind of a neat thing here, and I'm sure this happened actually a while ago. Kevin Feige hosted a meeting at Marvel Studios with kind of all the top creatives to basically lay out the ground rules for the multiverse. What could happen, what couldn't happen, kind of trying to put it in a box. I think obviously when you're looking at something like this and you have so many creatives that are involved, I think it is important to establish those ground rules.
I feel
it's one of those things that I think that, and in fact, there was a discussion in Discord about this, not long ago. And, we were kind of talking about the multiverse, and I think somebody asked when's the multiverse thing going to go away? When's the sacred timeline going to be restored? And I said, I don't know that it ever will be.
Yeah.
I think that it's something that there will be stability to it, but it's never necessarily going to go away because it offers Marvel Studios future opportunities to do different things. We know obviously this is the gateway for mutants because otherwise they would have to explain why mutants haven't been around for decades and decades. Now they can just simply bring them in from another timeline. Very, very easily done. But there's other characters. And you have other characters that actually do kind of live in these different timelines. And so you have to have some of that, some of that ability, but it obviously also needs to stabilize because it can't constantly be the thing that explains away everything. That's lazy.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I don't think Marvel would do that. I don't think that they'd use this as an excuse.
Yeah.
I feel like Kevin Feige, if at some point you can make this, obviously the movie or things are, if you could also kind of release a rules of the multiverse to just most people, because I feel like John would really benefit from some rules of the multiverse. Poor John has been stressed out about the sacred timeline, so I feel like he would also really be appreciative of something like that. So if you want to do a Disney Plus thing, like a short, like here are the rules or here's how it works,
or publish a book. Give us a guidebook to the multiverse.
Agreed.
Kevin, that establishes those rules. And you know what, that is Sheba. That's a great idea. I mean, if something like that comes out, we will either get a media review copy, or if not, I will personally buy a copy for John to help him navigate these next few years of the MCU because, he's going to need it. He's going to need it.
Yeah.
Let's see some other, related things that aren't necessarily MCU. First of all, have you seen the Deadpool review of the Free Guy trailer that he did with Korg?
I didn't. It was so lovely.
This is fantastic. So Ryan Reynolds stars in the movie Free Guy, which is coming out like in a couple weeks.
Which is directed by Taika Waititi. Oh, no, Taika Waititi is the evil villain in the movie.
Yes, Taika Waititi is the antagonist in it. So so you just have this wonderfully meta thing that you have. Okay, so Deadpool basically does a trailer review of the Free Guy trailer, making fun of Ryan Reynolds through the entire thing, which I love that he does that. Yeah. And he did this like sitting on a couch next to Korg, who is voiced by Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah. And so like a lot of people are saying like, this is like the official Deadpool entrance into the MCU. Yeah. And you know what? I would accept that because it's a very Deadpool thing to do.
Exactly. And honestly, like if he wasn't allowed to do that, Marvel would have been like, no, sorry, you can't do this. So, I mean, the fact that he was even allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
have Korg there. There's clearly, you know, it's clearly something. Marvel and obviously Ryan Reynolds clearly have something up their sleeve. And I thought this was like a hilarious little like trailer. I mean, it hypes up the movie. I love Korg. Korg is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's in the movie for a short period of time, in both movies, in Ragnarok, still a fantastic character because Taika Waititi is awesome. But I liked how their energy, how they were talking off each other. Taika Waititi is hilarious. Ryan Reynolds is pretty funny as well. So it really worked. And I would watch a whole series of just Korg and Deadpool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to make, I would totally watch that.
And the thing is, like, quite honestly, I think those two guys could actually riff something like total improv.
Right.
And it would work. It would absolutely work.
Yeah.
Even
if they did just like reviewing other movies together, I would totally watch that as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like a Mystery Science Theater type of thing. Oh gosh.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be hilarious. For folks who aren't familiar, Hasbro has this thing called HasLab. And what they do with HasLab is that they will do these concept designs of something really, really big. And they've done a couple of them on the Star Wars side of things. They have now finally done one for Marvel. And this one is Galactus. It is like 33 inches tall. So when you consider that the majority of their figures are kind of what's become the standard of 6-inch action figures, Galactus is, you know, obviously considerably taller. And so the way HasLab works is basically on pre-orders. So they say, hey, here's our concept. They put it out there. We get enough pre-orders. And you actually do have to pay. It's $400 a pop. And if they get to a certain number of pre-orders, then they will actually put it into production for the people who did the pre-order. If they don't hit that number, then you're refunded. But it's seriously, seriously impressive. It's a massive thing. Probably nothing that I'm going to get. I have my big Lego Voltron, which I'm really happy with, and that's about the same size. So I'm cool with that. But I think eventually we will see Galactus in the MCU, and I'm looking forward to it. And I hope that they do it right. And it actually kind of is practically to scale. I mean, what we saw of Galactus before in the Fantastic Four movies was too big. Galactus's head is not the size of a planet. He's just like, he's a giant. And then lastly, Avengers Campus apparently is being kept up to date with MCU related settings. They have updated a particular set to include a lot of replica set items from the Citadel of He Who Remains.
Oh, cool.
From Loki, yeah. So I appreciate that even though Avengers Campus is not like canonically accurate, you know, with some of the things that they've done with S.H.I.E.L.D. and that kind of stuff, they are still keeping it at least canonically relevant. by bringing those things in. And that's that keeps it fresh. I mean, very similar to what they're doing with Batuu for the Star Wars stuff. Right. That, you know, yes, Batuu has been written into some Star Wars books, so it is a canonical place, but the things that are going on there story-wise are not necessarily canonical, but they're making sure to bring in elements from the most current material so people kind of grasp onto that, you know?
Right. Somebody was saying that there isn't enough Loki merch at Avengers Campus, so maybe somebody should start doing that.
Yeah, hopefully
a lot of people are asking.
Yeah, hopefully there will be more. You know, and I would say, I mean, when you go to the Marvel website, and I'm on their email distribution list, so every single week I'm seeing new merchandise that they are putting out. And they, how they time those merchandise releases is really good during these series that, you know, you get a reveal of something like it was Agatha all along. The following week, that merch drop has a whole bunch of Agatha all along stuff. So you're not getting spoiled by anything. They're dropping it really appropriately. They have some really, what looks to be really well-made things, some really creative things. And I'm hoping that those are the things that are making their way to Avengers Campus. To some of these shops or things like it. If there's a lack of Loki things, they gotta step up.
Yep.
So that wraps up episode 168 for us. Like I said, we had a lot of news, so we did run a little bit long. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. And we do have episode 169 coming up later this week. I am finally profiling Dr. Doom, Victor Von Doom. So looking forward to that. And with that, Sheba, thanks for joining me. Everybody, we'll catch you next episode. Take care.